Good morning, Church. Thank you for joining this Sunday morning meeting. So hopefully everyone is all right. I know it's a bit strange time at the moment. We are going through different timings, different seasons. Thank you for keeping in touch with each and every one of our church members, family through life groups, and it's been wonderful. The one thing is amazing is we were able to connect with each other during this unprecedented times. This is one of the wanting from God, so I'm happy that we are able to do that during this time. So today, when I was pondering what we could, what I could share, was just to have a bit of, just wanted to share about a little bit of testimony to start with. So this is about my family and my son's health. So normally, when I pray to God, I am really very confident about God's help in me, because I have seen so many times God help me if I pray. That happens during the workplace, during anything, you know, God listens to my prayer. It's been amazing to know the results immediately. But when my son was unwell with the health issue, I had to pray. It's not a major issue, it's the hair issue. He was losing hair and stuff. So, but when I prayed, I was confident that God will hear me straight away. But it didn't happen. But, you know, as a Christians, we all know when we pray, God listens. God definitely is a good Father. He listens to our prayer, and He listens and does something for it. But the results, we may not able to see it straight away. But do you really have a confidence in God? That's a topic today. Do we really have a confidence in whatever we pray to Him? Will He listen? Will He do something about it? So how do we know we have a confidence in God? So in John, today's topic, by the way, is pleasing God. So people, we are, you know, the Christian, you know, it's like a person who accepted Jesus Christ as a savior in his life. Jesus, he believes in himself. Jesus Christ died for his sins, and he lives in him by the Holy Spirit, and he wants to obey all the commandments what Jesus says. Okay, so this is what basically the Christianity is. But that unfortunately doesn't stop there. There are some of us, or I'm sorry, most of us, want to please God. Please God, you know, what God you want me to do in this world. I remember, I'm not 100% sure about the name of the preacher, but I heard he was explaining the only time we can please God is while we are in this earth. So when we depart, there's no possibility you can please God, because it's done. You'll be with God, the Father. That was His comment. It shook me, because this is the opportunity when I am alive. I can't see directly with my naked eye what is happening in heavens and stuff. A lot of you have spiritual eyes, more spiritual than me. But for me, I'm just explaining, I'm not able to see everything, what is going on in heaven, and what God's doing. But I know that God is for me, and He's not going to forsake. He's not going to leave me alone. I have felt it so many times in my life. So far, whatever I've gone through, I pray to Him, and He listens, and He's a loving, loving Father. Do I have a confidence in Him? Yes, I do have a confidence in God. Whatever I pray, He's going to listen to me. Yes, absolutely. But at the same time, I don't want my confidence in vain. I don't want my confidence to be a false confidence. For example, if I say something, I am going to rely on my friend who is going to do something for me. But if he doesn't do it, my confidence is in vain. It's going to be wasted. But God won't do it. God won't do it. God is faithful. He will always fulfill His promises. But from our side, as a human side, in 1 John 3 says, I'm just going to read up 1 John 3:21 to 24. Dear friends, it's John writing, by the way. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So if I come to God, if my heart is not condemning me, anything which is not unlikely, which is not likely God's will, then we have a confidence before God and we receive from Him anything we ask. If you have a confidence in God, you receive anything. Yeah, I'm not exaggerating. It is what written in 1 John 3:21, 22, 23, 24. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. So he's saying, John is saying here, so if we already do with His commands, He already do His commands and we do what pleases to Him. So we have confidence in God. Whatever we ask, He is going to receive our prayer and He is going to do something for it. This is amazing. So what if, my question is, what if an ordinary Christian, I want to just fill the tick boxes, what do you need to go, what I need to do in order to be a Christian, right? Yeah, going to church, yeah, doing this and doing this, tick boxes. This is what I want to do. I want to do the least possible thing in the earth in order to get into heaven. That is my aim. So that if we are in that category, We might not know. We are in that category. Nobody knows, you know, unless we know ourselves and as we sit down with God and Holy Spirit reveals to us. There is a trap here. That's what I want to clarify it today. So if we have a confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and we do what pleases God. So whatever the commands, he further says, they commanded us, you know, the one who keeps God's command lives in him. That's mainly the loved one another. That's the main command, what Jesus said. This is how we know that he lives in us, and we know it by the Spirit he gave us. With the help of Holy Spirit, we know God, Jesus, lives in us because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, just warns us, convicts us, giving us joy, peace, and making us to go in the God's path. We know that. So what else we could do to please God? So rather than going into my own, I come across Hebrews 13. This preaching is preaching is focused on Hebrews 13. No other way. Just know that verses I'm going to discuss is just a chapter I'm going to read today and followed by prayer. So Hebrews 13 verse 1 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Everyone knows Jesus said, you know, just love one another. But it further says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. So I am, to be honest, you know, I don't want to talk about anybody. I am a little bit hesitant to let my strangers into my house. That's me. So what he says in Hebrews, loving one another, just there is a thing just to go a little bit far and next step to show the hospitality even to the strangers. Continue to remember those in prison as if you are together with them in prison. So the one thing, you know, like thinking about and talking about people who are in prison, that means, for example, I used to be an alcoholic. That if I became saved by grace of God, and now I'm just looking them down. Look, you know, what you're doing, guys, which is not right. Now if anybody comes with a problem, we take up a note, okay, like one, you should have not done that, you should have not done that, you should have not done that, you know, this is a, there are so different ways, you should have not done any of this, my friend. No, you put your souls in there. So do not just look at the prisons, the people who are all, you know, in the world, down, looking down. So we don't love them if you do that. And those who are mistreated as if you yourself are suffering. If somebody is mistreated, we pray for them. So this is what loving one another, Hebrews 13 says. So let's have a little prayer. I'm going to just go by one topic and then have a prayer to Holy Spirit to help us to reveal if there's anything in our heart to rectify this thing in order to please God. Holy Spirit, thank you for this morning. Thank you for showing us this verse. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And in our life, So far, if we have looked anybody down, anybody because of their where they live and what they do and the way they live, Father God, we ask sorry today. And we want to come to you. Help us, Holy Spirit, so that we want to love one another in the way you want us to do. Amen. The Hebrews 13 says, to chapter 13, the verse 4, the next thing is a marriage. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immortal. So there are so many verses, you know, how the husband and wife are supposed to live in the New Testament, in the Bible. Even Jesus Christ, when he's going to coming as a bridegroom, as a bride, you know, that relationship between the husband and wife is so pure. So we don't do much adultery, but what about our thought process? Jesus said in Sermon of the Mount, if anybody thinks wrong, you know, thinking about other people, opposite sex, in a wrong way, you have already committed adultery. So, you know, it's not only what we are actually performing physically, even if you're thinking in our thought process about others, and, you know, are we keeping our marriage pure? It is hard, you know, the thought process, sometimes the temptation, it from everywhere, but we got a Holy Spirit. So in order to please God, we will keep our marriage pure and, you know, as God wanted. So today, the small prayer is, thank you, Holy Spirit, just help us to keep away from the temptations. Each and every one of us going through rough times and busyness and not able to have much time between the husband and wife and the family, but we remind that, Father, we are your children. Keep us away from this temptation and help us strengthened in the name of Jesus. Amen. The third, money. Keep your lives free from love of money. This is Hebrews 13:5. And be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Money is a big subject, is another sermon, but simply what it says, be content with what you have. Yes, if I say I don't love money at all, basically I think I am lying here. But am I content with my money? Am I going after money? Everybody needs money to fulfill their needs and fulfill, you know, we don't want to live a parasitic life and depending upon others. We want to earn money. We want to live for ourselves so that we don't rely on anyone. But at the same time, because, you know, as you know, Bible says, love of money is the root of all the evil. And if you want to be richer, it will show you so many traps. We may get into it and we may miss our way. So the money is amazing. But at the same time, you know, God helps us to keep money where it's supposed to be. So if you say to me, well, you don't like money at all, or what if you give an Aston Martin? Yeah, I don't mind Aston Martin. For example, if a God gives me an Aston Martin to drive, yes, well, it's amazing. Just take it. I don't say no. But at the same time, am I after it? Am I so crazy without Aston Martin? I can't live without that car. That's the degree of the love towards money. Which everybody has to deal with in our spiritual life. So everybody is in a different journey. Everybody may be going in a different stages in their life. So let Holy Spirit reveal to us, help us to attitude towards money is worthy, is acceptable, is pleasing to God. Let's pray about money. Father God, thank you for your provision and thank you. You've given a lot of money for us to fulfill our basic needs. Thank you. And we pray for our brothers and sisters who are struggling. I know, Father God, as you said, you are our helper and you will not be afraid. And what we can And you know, we never leave you, leave us, and never forsake us. So we rely on this verse, Father, and we pray for all of our brothers and sisters in the world, to all their needs be fulfilled, and give us a heart to know, and He give us the way and wisdom to manage money, Father. Thank you. We don't want to overdo, as well as we don't want to be sitting and lazy and doing nothing. Father God, show the right way and the right attitude towards money. We give that into you, in your name. Amen. So the next one, imitation of faith, Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders, we spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is no benefit of those who do so. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name, and we do not forget to do good and share with others, for with sacrifices God is pleased. This is saying imitation of faith. We have seen so many people. This is an amazing country who has sent ministers and, you know, ministers to us all over the world. We have got so many examples in the Bible, and then we see our forerunners and see how they lived their life. Is it hard? Is it when we are down, you know, just we have the tendency as a human, when we are down, we tend to look at other people, how they are doing, and are they doing really all right? If they do not good, well, then we feel a little bit happy. Oh, he's not doing good. Okay, it's not really much expected. But that's why God is saying to us today, just to be an imitation of it. If anybody is... There are so many forerunners there. If you're down, we are allowed to look at other people who are good in their race and look at them and imitate their faith. That's why we have got a church and we mix with people. We got all variety of people who may be just in the beginning stage, who may be matured, and who may be in the middle of their way. So we see everyone. And we see, if I look in the church, you know, I see, I don't want to mention the name. Me and Bharti sit down and discuss and look how they are amazing. You know, I want to learn from them. I want to see how they are doing it. You know, even though they are suffering, the family suffering, look at their faith, you know, how they are living. Oh, that astonishes us. Yes, I am imitating the faith by looking at my church family in a good way, so that it helps me to strengthen myself. At the same time, you know who is false teacher and who is not teaching about basic stuff leading to Christianity, like, you know, you got to be like ceremonial food. This is an example is given. If it is not related to whatever Jesus Christ said, you know, do not go after it. We don't go after it. So we imitate the faith of our family and people who ran the race before us. And we look at them when we are down. We look at them and just get strengthened ourselves. Another prayer. Thank you, Jesus, Father God and Holy Spirit. Help us to look at other people who ran the race before us and keep hold of their faith, Father. Just show us from them the compassion, the love, the way they lived that enhanced the kingdom of God. We want to learn from them, Father God. We keep us, help us to open our spiritual eyes to perceive things happening around the church. Not only I come, my needs are satisfied, I am done. Rather, I want to come and see other people and see my people and my family and how they are progressing, and learn from other people, Father God. In the name of Jesus, amen. The last one I want to talk about a little bit elaborated. Hebrews 13:17. It says, attitude towards our pastors. Have confidence. This is that today we are talking about an extra step to how to please God. We have an intention in our life to obey God's commands. But this is our heart. Jesus, Christianity is just about God looking at our heart. all the time, you know, you may be doing nothing and somebody doing too much godly work, but God looks at your heart. What is in your heart? He knows about it. So if somebody, for example, if I love God, I want to please Him. I want to know what God wants me to do. In Psalm 25, it says, you know, show me your will, Father. Show me the way, what you want me to supposed to walk in. Make me humble to know your way. I want to fulfill whatever you said. I don't want to be any disappointment when I come and meet you. He won't say that. I don't know how it's going to be look like. I have no idea, but I have confidence in God. It's going to be love and peace and joy. He might not say nothing, but if I come to know the Father God who created me, He wants to walk in a way that's supposed to walk. If I missed all my life, I'm talking about after being Christian. Not before. After I accepted Jesus Christ, if I just do the basic fulfillment tick box, if I do not worry about anything else, feeling myself convinced that's what I need, that what I needed, that's all done. Then that in that case, I feel sorry for myself. I'm not exaggerating the point here. I'm saying Hebrews 13 explains pleasing God. This is, I'm talking about now, attitude towards our leaders. So what, we are living in a different and very modern Western society. So we are open to challenges. We are open to questions, and you're very welcome to challenge your leaders. And the kingdom of world operates on challenges, and you challenge your leader. And this is what's happening in everywhere, politics, media, and the area you work, you challenge if it is wrong. You know, it's absolutely, it's amazing thing what is happening. The kingdom of God operates differently. So it doesn't mean that, you know, like you, whatever your pastor says, you obey and do. I leave that with you. I'm going to read the verse now. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. It says in NIV version, submit to their authority. But you, so many of you are experts, and I am not sure what the submit is equivalent to, which word in Greek in the original New Testament. But I feel it's a submit is a submit because they keep watch over you. As those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be joy, not a burden, for they would be of no benefit to you. They are constantly working for our behalf. By the way, I have been offered any honorarium or anything from our Sibelis, Sibeli Mauricio, Brian and Mary. But you might owe me a cake later on. But that's nothing to do with that, but I'm just kidding. So here, what I come across so many times in my heart, it is not the culture I'm trying to bring in, but I feel that, you know, if you know the pastors, they are like a spiritual father in the church. Pastors, they are looking after us. They go after you. I know, I've been in this church for 13 years, around 14 years. But the last couple of years, I have got close contact with the pastors. But that now I feel the pressure, what they are going through. They've taken in joy, you know, they're doing it for God and you. They pray for each and every one of us. They give an account. It says, because they keep watch over you, and thus you must be given an account to each and every one of us. In Old Testament time, thank God, we are not in Old Testament time. People spoke against Moses. People spoke against the leader being given leprosy, and they had to taken out from the camp and leave them outside and washing and these things, you know. But we are living in amazing New Testament time. This time we come to here, but sometimes, you know, we come here, we see pastors, and sometimes they may be younger than you. They may be younger than us, or they may be education-wise, they may be a little bit of not like you. You are probably highly educated, or you're probably richer than them, and you probably experienced them. You probably had the same kind of ministry, and you are experienced about the ministry, what they are talking about. But God has given them to you as a leaders, as a pastors, for some reason. Moses did wrong. Moses married an Ethiopian woman, and the sister was, you know, why did he do that? That was the right things he asked, but ended up having leprosy. I'm not saying whatever you do, we just obey and things, you know, but that's why we got a Holy Spirit in us. The pastors are working hard for us. The pastors need to give an account to God. The pressure they are going through, keep each and every one within the shelter. It is difficult. So sometimes, you know, one sheep, you just try to get off, or they go after them. They try to bring them whatever they got and bring them back to the crowd. So the pastors here, it says, if you want to please God, have confidence in your leaders, submit to the authority. Because they keep watch over us and they worry about us, about our spiritual health, and they look after us. They try to do everything as much as they can because they are accountable to God. So what an attitude we have towards our leaders. So we challenge our manager because the way they work, we may not like it. But here, you absolutely, we have an open, it's not like olden days, you know, like a slavery, you got to do what I'm saying you to do. We have a wonderful pastors here. And we are open to express our concerns and everything. It's been dealt in a nice way. But God says in Hebrews 13, have confidence in your leaders and submit to the authority. If we want to please God. Let's pray. I'm going to read the prayer from Hebrews 13, the same chapter, 20. Hebrews 13:20. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead of our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip us with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father God, we pray that today, this morning, we come to you and thank you for enlightening our heart. If there is anything in our heart that you want to just guide us, you want to just tell us that we need to change, help us to change, Father. We can't do it. We are human. We are going through this modern Western cultural society outside. We learned in a different way. This is what we feel normal, but thank you for showing that the kingdom of God operates differently. Thank you. We take it. We want to please you. The amount of the days, the number of days we live in this world is going to be meaningful to you when we come up there, Father. Thank you for this wonderful life you have given. Thank you for opening our heart. Thank you for showing us that this is the only opportunity we have in this earth to please you. We don't want to live a normal, ordinary Christian human life just to tick the tick boxes. We want to please you, Father. We have a confidence in you. So you hear our prayers. Definitely you will not forsake us. But our confidence, because we obey your commandments as well as we want to please you. Amen. If you haven't heard Jesus Christ in our life, there are lots of ways to live. Mainly is the way you wanted to live, or you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, who died for you. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, he's going to take care of you. He's going to look after you. He's going to be there everywhere you go. He's an amazing companion. I am not a born Christian. I accepted Jesus. He found me. I accepted Jesus Christ. It's been amazing. There's no regret in my life. If you want to hear more about Jesus Christ, follow that web address and try to contact us. He'll help you. But if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your life, he died for you. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for accepting my sins as yours. I believe that you died for me. You resurrected and you live forever, and you do whatever you need to do to keep me with you. Amen.